You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, we go to the scripture reading. It's Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11 through 18. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we do thank you as you bless our time and fellowship this morning in the Word, and that we might give full attention to it. We pray that you hedge us about and you rebuke the evil one, that, Father, we might learn more about your Son and what great love you have for us through him and how obedient he was, even obedient unto the death of the cross, so that we, Father, who have no righteousness to offer you, might have his righteousness. We praise you for that. We thank you, Father, for this time of celebration and remembrance of Memorial Day. We pray your blessing on the words that speak about it this morning, and take our mind back to those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for the liberties and freedoms we enjoy here in America. So we pray your blessing on our United States. We pray, Father, for an awakening. We thank you for the blessing of the Tea Party people and those things that are going on today, even in our country, that are drawing us back to our Christian heritage. We pray, Father, that we give attendance to it. We be bold in our faithfulness to it. In fact, even bold to you, the author of it. And these things, Father, we do pray in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, it is Memorial Day. There is a little bit of what I'm going to talk about just briefly in these first few words on the back of your bulletin about Memorial Day. And actually, Memorial Day began in 1971. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. But it was formerly known as Decoration Day. It was first observed in 1865 or 1866 to honor Union soldiers of the Civil War. The alternative name, Memorial Day, was first used in 1882, and it did not become common until after World War II and was not declared the official name by federal law until 1967. And on June the 28th of 1968, the United States Congress passed the Uniform Holidays Bill, which moved three holidays from their traditional dates to a specified Monday in order to create a convenient three-day weekend. These three holidays include Washington's birthday, now celebrated as President's Day, Veteran Day, and Memorial Day. You know, it's interesting. Washington's birthday is now celebrated as President's Day. And President's Day is the third Monday in February. Now, it's fascinating that that is always going to be either February the 15th to February the 21st. Not once, ever, will it ever fall on Washington's birthday, which is February the 22nd. But that's President's Day, third Monday in February. Veterans Day. I learned something about Veterans Day I didn't know. Kathy and I kind of shared a little bit about it this morning. But, you know, it was Veterans Day falls on November the 11th. It commemorates and brings to memory World War I, when the armistice was signed on the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month. You may not remember all the other stuff. It was in 1918 when that was signed, but you'll remember at least November the 11th because it's on 11/11 every year, Veterans Day. I have a little story about Veterans Day. Sherry and I were in Bullhead City, that's in Arizona, visiting her sister several years ago, 10, 12 years ago, and it was Veterans Day. And I thought, I'm going to go into town, which was Laughlin, which is right next to Bullhead across the river in Nevada. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to celebrate Veterans Day and just check everything out. All of their celebrations are in the casinos in Laughlin, but I didn't take any money to go gamble. I just went to celebrate Veterans Day. I left in enough time to get there early enough that I could get a good seat, and I didn't know exactly how early I had left because the difference between Arizona and Nevada is a whole time zone. And when I crossed the river, I was an hour earlier than I'd ever thought I was. So I had an hour and 30 minutes to walk around and look at all of the exhibits. So that's, I always remember Veterans Day for that. That was a good time. It's, if you ever get a chance to talk to any veteran of any war, stop and take a moment. Just talk to them about it. Ask them about the service. You don't need to ask them about war and battle and did you kill anybody or anything. Just ask them about how their service went. They'll talk about it. Usually they will. Usually they will. I remember a lot of guys when they came back from Vietnam did not talk about it. You know, we lost a lot of men in that war in Vietnam. We lost 58,000 in the Vietnam War. Men and women. We lost a lot of men and women in World War II. I mean, a lot. It's like over 100,000, 115, 120, some numbers because they go on after the war, those who didn't just die in combat, who died later from disease or poison or something like that, up to 140,000, 150,000 people. In the Civil War, we lost more people than we ever lost in any other war. In fact, we lost more people in the Civil War than we ever lost in all the wars combined. We lost upwards over 500,000 Union and Confederate soldiers in the Civil War. Over 500,000. Mind-boggling. It's unbelievable. And here on Memorial Day, this is the day that we commemorate those who have fallen in battle, those who have given their life for their country. It was traditionally on May the 30th that Memorial Day was celebrated, but because of this federal law, the Uniform Holidays Bill, which was passed in 1967, it became effective in the year 1971, and it was moved from May the 30th to the last Monday in May. And that's tomorrow. And we celebrate that tomorrow, Memorial Day. It's kind of interesting, Memorial Day is celebrated in a lot of ways. You know, some people lower their flag at dawn to half-mast, and then at noon raise it back up. Some go to Indianapolis to celebrate Memorial Day. You know why? The Indianapolis 500. I've been there. I was there one summer in 1969 and sat in the infield as the cars were going around, and I never did see what was the purpose of that. I mean, even when you went over to the racetrack, as close as you were, what you saw was gone before you saw it, and all you could hear, I mean, all that was left was what you could hear. Formula One cars are loud. NASCAR picked it up. They have the Coca-Cola 600. So if you don't have anything to do tomorrow, you got a couple of races you can watch, one in the afternoon and one in the evening. Memorial Day is a federal holiday, and it's observed on the last Monday of May. It commemorates U.S. men and women who died while in military service. Men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Does that sound familiar? It does, doesn't it? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So why do we celebrate Memorial Day? So that we can remember. We can remember people like John William Finn. Haven't heard of him, have you? I hadn't either, but He is the most recent Congressional Medal of Honor recipient that was still alive that died. He died May the 27th, just 3 days ago. During the first attack by the Japanese airplanes on the Naval Air Station in Kanahi Bay on December the 27th, 1941, Lieutenant Finn promptly secured and manned a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on an instruction stand in a completely exposed section of the parking ramp, which was under heavy enemy machine gun strafing fire. And although painfully wounded many times, he continued to man this gun and return the enemy's fire vigorously and with telling effect throughout the enemy strafing and bombing attack, and with complete disregard for his own personal safety. His extraordinary heroism and conduct in this action were in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service, and he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. One of the few recipients that remained alive after his heroic act. Most of them die in the service. And most Congressional Medals of Honor are given after, or are given posthumously after their death. Let me remind you of a couple of others. Sergeant Edwin Rivera, 28, of Waterford, Connecticut, died May 25th in Afghanistan. Private First Class Christopher Barton, 22 years of age, from Concord, North Carolina, died May 24th. This is this year. These are the last few men who've died in combat to protect our liberties. Pacific First Class Jason Finger, 24, Columbia, Missouri, died May 22nd in Afghanistan. And Lance Corporal Philip Clark, 19 years old, Gainesville, Florida, died May 18th while supporting combat operations in Afghanistan. Those four are the last that we know about that have been reported that have died. And this day is the day that we remember. God's called us to remember. God wants us to remember. Lots of things God wants us to remember. I'll be light for just a moment. It's hard to remember when you get old. You know what I'm talking about. I've got a story about a fella here. He said, recently I was diagnosed with AAADD, age-activated attention deficit disorder. He goes on to say, this is how it develops. I decide to water my garden. So I go and turn on the hose, and all of a sudden I look over and I see my car. And I decide my car needs washing. So as I start toward the garage, I notice that there's mail on the porch table that I had brought up from the mailbox earlier. So I decide to go through the mail before I wash the car. I lay my car keys down on the table. I put the junk mail in the garbage can under the table, and I notice the can is full. So I decide to put the bills back on the table and take out the garbage first. But then I think, since I'm going to be near the mailbox when I take out the garbage, that I may as well pay the bills first. So I take my checkbook off the table and see that there's only one check left. My extra checks are in my desk in the study. So I go inside to the study, to my desk, where I find there's a can of Coke that I've been drinking. And I'm going to look for my checks, so I need to push the Coke can aside so I don't accidentally knock it over. And I see that the Coke is getting warm, and I decide I should put it in a refrigerator to keep it cold. And so as I head toward the kitchen with the Coke in my hand, I notice that on the countertop, there's a vase of flowers, and they need to be watered. So I set the Coke down on the counter, and I discover my reading glasses there on the counter, and I've been searching for them all morning. Well, I decide I better put them back on my desk, but first I'm going to water the flowers. And so I set the glasses back down on the counter, I fill up a container with water, and suddenly I spot the TV remote. Someone's left it over here on the kitchen table. So I realize that tonight when we go to watch TV, I'll be looking for the remote, but I won't remember that it's on the kitchen table. So I decide I better go get it, put it back in the den where it belongs. But first, I think I'll water the flowers. So I pour some water in the flowers, and I spill quite a bit of it on the floor. So I set the remote back down on the table. I go over and I get some towels, and I wipe up the spill. And then I head down the hall trying to remember what it was I was planning to do. And at the end of the day, the car isn't washed. The bills aren't paid. There's a warm can of Coke sitting on the counter. The flowers don't have quite enough water. There's still only one check in my checkbook. I can't find the remote. I can't find my glasses. And I don't remember what I did with the car keys. And then when I try to figure out why nothing got done today, I'm baffled. Because I know I was busy all day long, and I'm really tired now. I realize this is a serious problem, and I'll try to get some help for it. Don't laugh. It isn't over yet. Your day is coming. Growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. And laughing at yourself is always therapeutic. Oh, P.S. I just remembered. I left the water running in the driveway. God wants us to remember. God wants us to remember. We get a lot of references in the Bible about remembering, you know? And the sad thing is, we don't. We don't remember. That's why God reminds us to remember. I remember I was in college one day. I was a freshman. I was 19 years old. It was April the 28th. It was my dad's birthday. And I thought, I'll just call my dad and wish him happy birthday. You know, cool. Brownie points. Awesome. Hey, Dad. Hey, Derek, how are you? I said, I'm great. I just want to call and wish you happy birthday. He said, well, thank you. I said, you have a good birthday? And he went, yeah. And I said, well, have you all done anything special on your birthday today? He goes, well, actually, Derek, my birthday was April the 12th. Oh. Dad, I'm sorry. I thought it was April the 28th. He goes, no. He said, that's okay. He said, I'm so glad you called. It really made my day. That's how we treat our Father in heaven. You know? But He always treats us just the same way with all that grace and mercy that we don't deserve. He says, that's okay. I love you anyway. He wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember things that He's already done for us and not think that we can do them ourselves. He wants us to remember it's not by works that we are saved. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. I want to look at a couple of these references. Turn in your Bible. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8. Verse 11. Moses looks backward in this chapter, and then he looks onward. God has blessed Israel. He has brought them 40 years through the desert. And Moses is instructed by God to remind the people not to forget. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Well, how would we forget Him? He tells us here in the verse. We would forget keeping His commandments. We would forget keeping His commandments. What else would we forget? Well, we would forget His judgments. We would forget His judgments. And what else? We would forget His statutes, which I command thee this day. Well, what would cause me to forget things like that? What would cause me to forget God Almighty, who has seen me for 40 years go through this desert wandering and has provided the entrance into the land flowing with milk and honey? He says in verse 12, he says, "Lest thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein." We have that problem in America today. We have so much prosperity today. We are such a nation that is bound up with the things that we have that we are prone to forget the God who has given them to us. We take for granted the liberties that God has blessed us with. We take for granted the freedoms that God has given us. So much so that we are in the midst of forgetting Him and forgetting Him. Verse 13, "Thy herds, thy flocks, they multiply. Thy silver, thy gold are multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart will be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions." Do you remember those stories? If you don't, you need to go back and remember. What is he talking about here when he mentions the fiery serpents and the scorpions? And the drought when there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might test thee to do thee good at thy latter end? And watch out. You might say in your heart, "My power and my might, for my hand has gotten me this wealth." We're to remember the hand of the Lord. Turn to Psalms 103. God remembers. God remembers things. And every one of us here today has that to be thankful for. Look at just this one verse in Psalms 103. Verse 14. "He knoweth our frame." He knows what we're made out of. He knows by what we consist. He knows everything about us there is to know. He's known it from the womb when He formed us and fashioned us. He knows it all the days of our life. He knows it to the very end. He knows everything you're thinking. And even though you think that someone doesn't know what you're thinking, God knows what you're thinking. He knows you. He knows your very frame. He knows by what material you consist, and He knows by what thoughts you exist. But look at the rest of it. He remembers. He remembers. God remembers that we are but dust. He remembers that if we ever had to face Him face to face, there would be nothing that would save us. He remembers also, though, that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have an advocate before the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's His shed blood that keeps on cleansing, the shed blood of the Son of God. And it's because of His obedience and His faithfulness. It's because He who knew no sin became sin so that we who are sin could have His righteousness before the Father. God remembers things. And what's amazing is that, look at verse 1. What's amazing is that we have to stir ourselves up. We have to be stirred up in order to remember. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Hey, wake up, soul. Get out of the groove. Get out of the materialism. Get out of that whatever it is that you're in, a funk or a glory day or whatever it is. Get out of it. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Quit thinking that it's you who've done it. Quit thinking that it's your power and your might. Everybody in this room comes from a different perspective of life. Some better than others and some worse than others. But everybody has that perspective. And every way along that walk, God has been with you. And every way along that walk, you had an opportunity to make a decision to either choose God or not choose God. You had that opportunity. God made sure that you had that opportunity. Just like the one day that you made that decision to choose His Son to be your Savior. You had that opportunity. God didn't have to give it to you. Why would even God think about you? Why would God care? I mean, can you imagine in the whole universe? I was talking to my grandson the other day. I said, do you remember the first day that the Hubble telescope was turned on the universe and what they discovered? Not just thousands or tens of thousands of stars in our galaxy, hundreds of thousands, millions of stars in our galaxies, but hundreds of millions of galaxies. What are we that God would be mindful of us? I see a gnat in the evening, and he's floating over towards the light on the patio. And I see him just for a moment, and how much thought do I have of him? Do I have enough thought to even think, you know, my son needs to go and die for that gnat? Oh my gosh. No, I don't even think about the gnat. Why would God even think about us? Because God is love. And that is a perfect picture of love. My soul needs to be stirred up to have thoughts like that. My soul needs to, because my soul gets so attached to this world and the things that are going on. And David here in verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We have a lot of God's people remind us of that. You ever heard of Elvina M. Hall? She was a 19th century American Methodist. She was an evangelist that wrote, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God's people remind God's people of the goodness of God. Yeah, Catherine Hankey, she was an English evangelist, and she wrote, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. We're to remember what God has done. Eve forgot. I mean, think about it. Think of all the people in the Bible that forgot. Eve forgot. God said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, all of them, but this one tree, the only commandment God gave, this one tree, don't eat of it. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did Eve do? Eve forgot. Oh, you may say, Derek, she challenged the serpent. She brought up the Word of God, but no, she forgot the Word of God. She could say the Word of God. Isn't it great? You know, think of how many kids we know that say, God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. John 3:16, my favorite verse. I learned it 7th grade. I was 12 years old. But they go on to forget it. Cain forgot. Cain forgot the way of the Lord. That's why over in Jude, go over to Jude. Last book in the, well, next to the last book. Go to Jude and look at this. Cain forgot the way of the Lord, and God even calls this the way of Cain. Jude's a little small book. Doesn't have any chapters, but it does have verses. In the 11th verse, God gives us a picture. And this whole epistle, small as it may be, it talks about false apostles. It talks about false teachers. It talks about a perversion of the Word of God. verse 8. Let's start there before we get to 11. He says, in like manner, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. These people who speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. See, they don't know the way of God. They don't understand the way of God. What do they speak about? They only speak about the things that they know. You know, what they say. Them. Those. And they speak ugly things about you as a Christian. Well, you're so bigoted. You're so biased. You're so one-way minded. Yeah. I'll give you another story. I've shared this with you. I was riding home from college with my father, and I said, you know, Dad, all roads lead to God, just like all roads lead to Rome. And he said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father by me. There's just one way. In verse 11, he goes on, he says, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. You know what the way of Cain was? You know the story about Cain. You know, Adam and Eve had two sons, Abel and Cain. Cain was he worked by the sweat of his brow, you know, and he farmed and he dug and he planted and he cultivated and he produced and he picked. And what did Abel? He raised sheep. How hard's raising sheep? You go out there and they go, bah. And you go, bah to you too. And then you sit down and you pick up your flute and you play it, or you grab your slingshot and you practice throwing stones, and you know, you just kind of hang around and you look over and there's Cain. You know, and he's digging and he's picking and he's pruning and he's sweating, and there comes a day God says, I want you to worship me. And Cain, he brings the fruit of his hand. He brings the work that he's done. He brings the sweat of his brow before God. He brings this food that comes from the earth. And here's Abel. He shows up and he's got this bah. He's got the best bah you could have, but he's got a bah. And that's what he's offering to God. Who does he think he is anyway? God doesn't accept Cain's offering. See, the way of Cain is not the way of Calvary. The way of Cain is not the way of Calvary. The way of Abel is the way of Calvary because he offered a firstling of his flock. God says over in Hebrews chapter 9, he says, without the remission of blood, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. That's the way of Calvary. That's the way of God. That's the way God said to worship him. And Cain said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bring in something really nice. I've worked and I've sweated, and here it is. You take it. But you can't get blood out of a turnip. The way of Cain is the way of the world. The way of Cain is the way of culture, not Calvary. How about those people at the time of Noah? See, we need to remember that too. Remember those days? They were eating and drinking and having fun, and they just disregarded God except for 8 souls, and he brought a flood, and everyone perished except 8 people. God's true about his judgment. Go over to Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. Just give you a moment. Read that. I was sitting in law school my freshman year, first day. And we're sitting there, it's orientation, and professor got up and began to speak to us. He said, I want you to look at the person on your left. Well, everybody kind of looked left and looked at the person on your right. By the time you graduate, if you graduate, they won't be here. Two out of three don't make it to the end. I thought, that can't be true. But that was true. Here in Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God. Today, when we celebrate Memorial Day, we need to remember how good God has been. Always like to go and look at the first use of a word. Remember. Go to Genesis chapter 9. You probably know this is the story of the rainbow. But I want you to see that God remembers. And He remembers even in the small things. Verse 8. Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. And God spoke unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the earth, of the fowl and of the cattle and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, and neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God says, this is my covenant. And He says it is for a perpetual covenant to generations. Verse 12, God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. You ever looked out there at the sky after a rainfall, and there's that beautiful, gorgeous, multicolored, fascinating rainbow? It just happened. See, you know, these water crystals, they just kind of come together in this sunshine, this light that just popped up a few billion years ago, and it just hits them just perfect, and you're just standing there in the right place at the right time, and yeah, that's just so ridiculous. God tells you right here. He said, it's a covenant. Do you ever remember when you look at the rainbow that it is a covenant between you and God? And God says, I will remember. Go to Genesis chapter 40. I may just go a minute or two over here. I'm almost done, but I want you to look at a couple of things about remembering. Remembering. In Genesis chapter 40, you familiar with the story of Joseph? He was thrown in prison, and there was a butler, and there was a baker. You familiar with that story? You remember they had dreams, and the butler, the butler came first to Joseph, and he said, hey, I had this dream last night, and I had this branch, and three things grew out, and the birds came and ate off of it, and I made wine off the grapes, and I made it in a cup, and I gave the cup to Pharaoh. What's that all about? And Joseph says, well, in 3 days, you're going to be giving a cup of wine to Pharaoh. He's going to restore you to your position. Well, the baker goes, well, that's cool. I had a dream, too, and I had these three baskets on top of my head, and the birds came and ate out of them. What is that all about? And he said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your place, but you're going to be hung from a tree and the birds are going to eat your flesh. Oh, that wasn't so good. And here in Genesis chapter 40, Joseph asked the butler, to remember him. I'm trying to find that. Verse 12. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, and in 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Look at the last verse in the chapter. Look at the last three words. He forgot him. The butler forgot him. Not for long. You know, 2 days later. Oh, yeah. Two weeks later. Oh, no. 2 months later. No. 2 years later. 2 more years Joseph was in prison. And finally, the butler remembered him. Verse 9, chapter 41. Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Celebrating the Passover, God says to Moses, verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Remember this day in which we came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. God brings him out of how many years of bondage? 4 years of bondage? No, I'm sorry. 40 years of bondage. No. 400 years of bondage. We can't even conceive of that. Our nation hasn't even lived as a nation 400 years. And 400 years they were in bondage. And he said, remember, remember this. Three times in the prison epistles. Let's go look at them. Paul writes, remember. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. These are special to us because this is mail that has our name on it. This is addressed to you. And it's something as simple as this in verse 18, the last verse in the last chapter of Colossians, Paul writes, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bond. And grace be with you. Amen. Do you think Paul wanted you to feel pity for him? I don't think so. I don't think Paul wants you to remember his bonds. He wants you to remember that he is in the service of God. That's what those bonds represent. He never was really under arrest because he was already arrested by the will of God. He wanted to live that life. It didn't matter where God sent him. Remember that song we just sang, Betty? Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. There's a lot of people who won't follow him this direction. There are a lot of people who won't follow him into these prison epistles. A lot of people won't pay attention that this is their private mail. And yet they'll sing on Sunday, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says in verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is an incredible verse. If you stop and you really think about it, it could be a problem passage for some. It's used often by those who want to refute the Acts 28 position. You may not know that. This is a connecting verse. This is a connecting verse between two dispensational outlooks. And that brings us to Ephesians chapter 2, which we read this morning as our scripture reading. And here is the connection. In chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, wherefore, remember. See, the wherefore points to something prior to this. And this is what happens in verse 2. He says, in times past, we were all children of disobedience. But in verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, loved us. In verse 8, he says, by grace are we saved. In verse 10, he says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained we should walk in. So wherefore, in light of that, remember that in times past, you were a Gentile in the flesh. You were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Remember that at that time you were without Christ. Not in your unsaved condition. This is in your saved condition after you became a Christian. You didn't have Messiah. Unless, of course, you converted to Judaism and you were now circumcision and you were pointing back to those who were Gentiles called uncircumcision. You were without Messiah. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. Let me tell you, today we have an alien problem in America. And they are enjoying a lot of the fruit of the labor of those who are really Americans today. But let me tell you, in God's judgment, that'll never happen. That'll never get past the first square. He won't allow that. You won't be able to just kind of waltz in and say, well, you know, let's work things out. He's already worked it out. We were not only without a Messiah, we were without aliens under Israel, as we were children of Abraham. We weren't even part of the commonwealth. We were strangers from the covenants. We had no hope. We were without God. And then look at those last three words. He says, in the world. Because we still had God. And we still had His Son. But we had no hope here on earth. We had no kingdom to rely upon. We had no promises. We had no covenants. We had no land. God didn't give us that. God called us to the heavenlies far above. But notice what God did. But now in verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. And He is our peace, verse 14, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man. This is the new man of the church of the one body. This is helping us understand. We are to remember Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David. There is a connection there. But it goes beyond that. It goes way beyond that. Because in verse 16, He did this so that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit unto the Father. We're to remember what God has called us to do. And in verse 1 of chapter 4 in this same epistle, He says we're to walk worthy of that. John Oxenham was in the 19th century, he was a prolific English writer. He wrote books and journals, essays, and poetry. And he put it this way, to every man there openeth a way and ways, and away. And the high soul climbs the high way. And the low soul gropes the low. And in between, on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a high way and a low. And every man decides the way his soul shall go. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of remembrance. Remembrance of those who gave their life, who died in combat, who died after combat, but who acted heroically who acted above and beyond the measure of a normal soul, who chose the highway and not the low. We remember them this weekend. We thank you for them. We who today enjoy the freedoms and the benefits of their sacrifice. But Father, we also remember your Son who gave His life that we might have life. Your Son who shed His blood that we might have an eternal life. We thank you, Father, for the demonstration and the example of obedience that we have. And may each of us be conformed unto His image until we come to the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His precious name and for His sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.